Well, please join me now in Proverbs chapter 2. Today we talk together about the worth of wisdom. I heard somebody say one time, you can tell how valuable something is by how hard you search for it if you lose it. And that makes a lot of sense. If you were working at your desk and you lost a paperclip, it's worthless. You just move on and find another one. You're not going to search for a paperclip. But if you misplace your wallet, you won't rest until you find it. You say, Jim, I don't have much in there. Even that driver's license, just the hassle of having to get another one. You say, that thing is valuable. I will not rest until I find my wallet. Well, in our first year of marriage, Joy and I somehow, in our little garage apartment, the first place we lived, we somehow lost our toothbrushes and our toothpaste. Like, how do you do that? We're not on a trip. We're in our own little tiny apartment, and we have lost our toothbrushes and toothpaste. And I don't even know how that happened. So we're at this, we have a sink there. There's no counter space. It's a tiny little bathroom. But we did have a washstand. My grandmother had given us an antique washstand, wooden, and we would just keep in those days our two toothbrushes and our toothpaste on a washcloth to protect the wood on this washstand. Always there. Why would it be anywhere else? But one evening, we go to brush our teeth, not there. Well, we searched everywhere. Didn't take long. It was a small apartment, but we searched everywhere for them and could not find them. And we were so perplexed about it. Like, how could we have done this? We came up with this theory that my buddies there across town on campus, that they must have left campus, broke into our apartment to steal our toothbrushes and toothpaste as some elaborate prank just to play with our minds, you know. They didn't do it. But we had to go out and buy new toothbrushes and toothpaste. And it was days later when I went to our linen closet, and there they were. Why did they get there? Well, the only thing we can figure is that we had set down some clean towels that we had folded on the washstand on top of the washcloth with our toothbrushes. When we gathered them up, one of the two of us put them away, and once we went through some towels, oh, well, there they've been the whole time. You would have thought those toothbrushes were made of gold the way we searched for them. But we come to our text, and we see that the wisdom of God is something of great value that we must have, and we're going to see in this text, oh, we must search for it as the great treasure that it is. And an obvious question as we begin this morning is this: do you have in your life the wisdom of God? Is this a mark of your very life, that your life is marked by and characterized by the very wisdom of God? How about this question? Because we're going to look at a text, and it's going to ask this question: do you have a sense of urgency in your life that you would acquire even more of the wisdom of God? Well, Proverbs 2, let's look at the first 15 verses together. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Notice this chapter begins with that phrase, my son. We saw that first back in chapter 1, but here again we see a father giving counsel to his beloved son. And the counsel is essentially this: seek out God's wisdom above all else. Last week, as we think about last week's passage in chapter 1 and this one, there's a bit of a contrast here. Last time we saw how wisdom was described as a woman, and we saw her crying out to foolish people to listen. Remember this back in chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market. She raises her voice at the head of every noisy street. She cries out At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. So last time, wisdom's crying out to simple people. This time, we're told we should be the ones crying out for wisdom. Last time, we saw foolish people not listening to wisdom. But here, we're told, oh, incline your ear. You must have it. You must even go on a search for this wisdom. We are to be energetic on a determined quest for more and more of the wisdom of God. Hear it again, verse 1. My son, notice these words, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you, there it is, call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. So see with me this morning this great worth of wisdom that we must have, that we must search for it here. And there's a bit of a paradox here. It's the wise that understand that they need wisdom. And it's the foolish person that we all know that person needs wisdom. The foolish person thinks, I don't need any. I know all I need to know. I wouldn't care for any more wisdom. I'm doing just fine by myself. But the truly wise know, oh, but I could use more. I want to have the wisdom of God in every area of my life. I don't want to just have some of it and operate in some of the wisdom of God. If we're truly wise, we want more. But foolish people don't want it. You know, there are different types of foolish people. There are foolish intellectuals. And there are those we could call foolish anti-intellectuals. Sometimes you see the foolish intellectuals on television. Sometimes they're being interviewed. I watched a clip on YouTube this week of a famous atheist being interviewed in one of those nighttime news type programs. And just to watch his arrogance, his disdain at the idea of a maker, of a creator. And he's just scoffing at it and spouting off about the things that he did believe. And this is what's so strange. This foolish atheist, this foolish famous atheist, he did not believe in God, though the evidence is all through creation, all this order and all this evidence of a designer. But you know what he did believe in? He said there on national television, he believed in superhuman aliens. So he is a brilliant scholar and entirely foolish. So there are intellectual fools, but also we're more accustomed to the anti-intellectual fools. There are those who don't want to think about anything. This is the guy who just lives for the weekend. He's going to get a six-pack and just blow off steam. He doesn't want to think. This guy also is a fool according to how the Bible describes it. So here's the question this morning. We can talk about them, but this morning, are you wise or are you foolish? You are wise if you see the value of God's wisdom and you think to yourself, I've got to have it. I need more of it in my life. I want to call out for it, as the scripture says. Verse 4, I want to seek it like silver. I want to search for it like hidden treasures. Proverbs 16:16 speaks the same way. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. That same heart we see in Psalm 119 verses 97 and following. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So let's just pause here. Is this a part of your walk with Christ? Is there a hunger in you for more of God and more of his truth, more of his wisdom? If so, that shows the mark of humility in your life. Look, I'm not fully sanctified yet. I don't fully understand as I ought to stand. I don't understand all of the scriptures. God, I want to have more. I want to keep pressing on in you. We don't have complacency in us, that complacency of fools that the scripture talks about. Proverbs 1:32, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. That complacency, I don't need God, and I don't need anything from God. I've got enough wisdom. Oh, we're not fools any longer in Christ. We recognize we need more and more of God. We're pressing on for this. We see the worth of wisdom. But not only that, we understand through this text the source of wisdom. The source of wisdom. Back to verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So how is it that God imparts wisdom to human beings? Scripture says that it's God who gives it to us. And specifically, he has spoken it. He has spoken it and it's been preserved for us in the scriptures, in the Bible. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Listen, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Oh, the worth of wisdom. And the source of wisdom is God himself. In James chapter 1, we're told to ask God for wisdom, and we're to ask in faith. And now here in Proverbs 2, we're told to seek after this wisdom and to seek it with fervor, and we're going to find it in the Word of God. So you and I can't say, oh, I want the wisdom of God. I see it like it's a treasure. I want it. We can't really mean that if we're neglecting the Bible that we have. I think if we were to pray to God and say, God, I need your wisdom, James tells me to ask you for it, but we don't simultaneously spend time in the Word of God, I think God would know that's an empty prayer. You must not really want it, because I've loaded you up with 66 books in the Bible that I've inspired and preserved for you, loaded with my wisdom. And you're not going into that. You're not drinking deeply from that truth, and you're just asking. Listen, it's an insincere prayer. We're foolish. We'll say it this way. We're foolish if we possess a rarely read Bible. But if we're wise, we will humble ourselves, even discipline ourselves, that we can take in the Word of God regularly every day of our lives. Well, I have to carve out time for you. See, it's a type of pride when we don't do that, isn't it? I got this. I know enough. I don't need time in God's Word. We're displaying pride and foolishness when we don't discipline ourselves to consume the Word of God. Oh, but it's great humility. This isn't us thinking we're self-righteous by meeting with God. This is us saying, I must have your Word. Lord, I'm totally dependent upon you. I'm not wise enough for this life. I must have your presence. I must have your power. I must have your wisdom. So I will meet with you even when my lazy flesh doesn't want to. I'm going to drive myself in your presence because, oh, I need you. And so the number one source of wisdom for us is the Bible that God has divinely inspired for us. What a treasure. By the way, our text also reminds us that there is a role for parents here, that parents are another source of wisdom for their children, particularly from godly parents who are following Christ. They can be a great blessing to their children. Again, we saw how we saw this worded back in chapter 1, where he says, my son, follow this wisdom. Hear the same thing in chapter 2. It's a great role of parents. Back in chapter 1, the son is exhorted to heed the words of the parents. Here, he's told to receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. This is the opposite as how most of us did as teenagers. The counsel would come in one ear and out the other. This is the opposite of that rolling of the eyes that many of us did with our parents. This is, oh, I actually want the wisdom that God has given me now through these godly parents of mine. Well, I told you a couple weeks ago about my buddy Mike Edwards and how, as brilliant preteens, we played tag with his BB rifle. That was not a great moment. But another day in the backyard of my buddy Mike, we had the idea of making what we would call a coffee can flamethrower. Don't try this at home. By the way, what I'm about to tell you, some grown women after the 8 o'clock service said, how exactly did you make that? So that was a fun moment. So looking around the room, we got some young ones in here. Do not try this at home. The church attorney would want me to tell you that. But anyway, what the idea was, we'd seen a friend do it. You take a coffee can back in the days when they were made out of metal, drill a hole in the bottom. You've got flour in the bottom, a candle in there lit. The idea is you blow into that straw, it shoots flour up into that flame, and it makes a column of fire going up. Great fun for preteen boys. Not wise. Again, do not try it at home. But we had the one straw there at the bottom of the can. Mike was going to go first. It's his backyard. And his dad comes around the corner, Mr. Edwards, one of the most wonderful men I ever knew, very calm. And he just said this to Mike. He says, Michael, your straw's too short. He even went on and said this, you're gonna scorch your bangs. You're gonna singe your bangs. Said something like that. But here's what Mike did, my buddy, in all of his wisdom. He scoffed at his dad's advice. Literally, he goes, he said, that's the last thing that's gonna happen. Mr. Edwards, very restrained, he let Mike go forward, and Mike got down there low, and he blew into that short straw, and woof, the flame went up. Mike fell backwards, took inventory of himself, and he had done just like his dad said, scorched his bangs. Hair was really brittle falling from that, and we all laughed once we knew Mike was okay, and we all learned a lesson. Better listen to the parents. Parents have some wisdom that we need. Where are you getting wisdom from in your life? Primary source, aren't you glad? The Word of God. And if you're blessed with Christian parents who are walking with Jesus, man, that's a great source of secondary wisdom, hopefully echoing the wisdom of God. But let's just remind ourselves, not every source of wisdom is real wisdom. Make sure you're testing every voice that you're choosing to listen to through media or other friends, whatever. Just filter it. Is this in accord with God's word, the real wisdom? Or am I getting wisdom that's contrary to Scripture? Then that would not be wise indeed. That would be foolishness. So we're just talking about the worth of wisdom. We've been talking about the source of wisdom. But now let's talk together about the great benefit of wisdom. So if wisdom is indeed a treasure that we're to search for like silver and like hidden treasures, as the Word of God says, then it ought to be beneficial to us. And it really, really is. The first benefit that we see in our text here is that God's wisdom will bring you great joy in God. God's wisdom will bring you great joy in God. In other words, when you seek the wisdom of God, you know you're finding true wisdom because that wisdom of God is going to direct you to God Himself. You're going to get more of God. Verses 5 and 6 again. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So as you go to God for wisdom in His word, you're going to be directed to God Himself. And as you get to know God Himself in His word, you're going to be in a posture of humility. Indeed, you're going to understand, oh, I fear God in all the right senses of that word. And I'm gaining a knowledge of God. And what it means to fear Him, seeing Him in all His greatness, as we've been singing today, but there's nobody like Him. He's awesome. But we also stay in that posture of humility. Don't we learn to trust Him when we realize how great He is? And we become worshipers. Oh God, You're the great one. No one's close to You. I'm lowly, a sinner. You have forgiven. And so it directs us to want to worship and trust in Him. And in that posture of humility and trusting and fearing Him, I think most of us in the room have discovered that's where real joy is. If I'm going to find some happiness in this life, it's not going to be in the fleeting things and my circumstances, but being low and enjoying the presence of God, walking with Him in intimacy, oh, there's joy. So the wisdom of God is going to direct you to God, where if you humble yourself and trust in Him, there you're going to find the joy you've been seeking all your life. So today, examine your heart. Do you have an appetite for God? And do you have an appetite for God's word? Or do you feel like, nah, I have enough. I know enough. I'm pretty familiar with the Bible. I don't really care to get any more of it. Well, I was studying this week, preparing for this message. It was a Tuesday morning, and I typically have some light worship music, instrumental, no words, so I can focus and study, not hear voices out in the hallway. But I did hear a wonderful noise while in study on Tuesday morning. I heard the back doorbell ringing over and over and again, and I knew exactly what it was. It was a beautiful sound. It was women showing up for a women's Bible study downstairs in MP3. And so I hear my soft worship music. I'm studying about seeking more wisdom, getting into the Word of God. But I heard this chime meeting. Here's another lady showing up on a Tuesday to study the Scriptures. Here's another lady coming for the treasure of the Scriptures. And on they came. How wonderful. And I knew in that moment there'd be another group of people coming on Wednesday, some retired men who already know Jesus really well, already know the Bible really well, but they keep coming week after week for fellowship and to study the Bible together. And I knew there'd be a Thursday women's study, and a different group of women would be coming through that same door to study the Word of God. Great examples of a quest for more. I'm searching for more. Now, somebody might ask the question, well, why would people do that? If you have the general idea already of the Bible, you know the point. Why would you read that book over and over again? Why would you study it? We don't do that with any other book, but it's because it's true what the Word of God says about itself. It is a treasure for us. I thought about those in the 1800s who went out to California for the gold rush, and those who found a nugget of gold, what do you think they did? Well, I found one. Time to head back to where I came from. No. No, they were encouraged. Once they got there, they knew they'd hit pay dirt when they got a little bit of it, and they just devoted themselves to getting as much as they could possibly get. And here we are with the treasure of God's word. And once we learn some things of God and how awesome he is, and we learn the gospel best of all, I don't want to go anywhere else. This is the real treasure. Everything else is just empty nonsense that I hear so much in the culture. Oh, I've hit pay dirt here. I need the word of God in my life. And listen, we know we're handling the word of God right in all this knowledge if it causes us to love God more. I was meeting with some young men on Friday for discipleship, and we're talking about just the greatness of God. We talked about how God is eternal. Doesn't that blow your mind? God's eternal. No beginning. That just blows your mind, and no end to him. And so we were just talking about how awesome that is. And then we talked about God's triune nature, and it just thrills the heart. It blows your mind, but thrills your heart. And you know you're doing theology well if the thoughts of God and your study of God makes you love him more. If you're studying God and it's just an academic topic, that's just dangerous for you. That's just head knowledge. But, oh, he's awesome. That makes me grow in my affection for him. Oh, now we're doing the study of God right. Or I want to worship him. I want to be low in his presence and delight in him because of what I'm learning about him. Oh, that's the right type of knowledge. That's wisdom, growing more wisdom in us. There are great benefits to the wisdom of God. But here's another benefit, the security of God. The security of God. And I want you to notice as I reread some of these verses, notice the language of security and protection here in our text. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Now here it is. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will, here it is another one, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. So see this, the wisdom of God is a great blessing, pointing you to God, but also pointing you to safety and protection in knowing God. There's protection in his wisdom. Now, first of all, notice that God gives wisdom to those who are walking with him. It says here in integrity, verses 6 and 7. This is for the upright, God's wisdom. It's for those who are wanting to walk in integrity. In other words, God's going to bestow it on you if you're walking with him. If he already knows you're going to turn away from his wisdom, he's not going to entrust it to you. So he gives it to those walking with him. But this wisdom secures you. This integrity that wisdom is going to lead you into protects you. In other words, this is going to keep you from harming yourself. So there are lots of ways that God can protect us. So when we're going through a bad storm, we can pray to God. I hope you do that. Lord, would you please keep us safe? Keep the roof on my house, all those things. Because we know God can protect us. We might be traveling. Lord, would you protect us as we roll down the road here? Sometimes we might even pray this way. God, would you put some angels around us? However you want to do it, just protect me. So in his presence, maybe through his messengers, he can protect us. But the scripture says here, with all kinds of repetition, that his wisdom can protect you, especially in keeping you from hurting yourself and hurting the people around you. You do know that nobody can hurt you like you can hurt you. Nobody can wreck your life quite like you can wreck your life. I'm conscious of that. Nobody can wreck me and my family like I could if I walked away from Christ in absolute foolishness. And so here's God protecting us. I've loaded you up with my wisdom because I care for you, to protect you from the foolish things that you could do to yourself and to the people around you. You say, well, how does that exactly work? This is what we do as parents, right? Those of us who have the role of parents, especially when they're younger, we can protect them in lots of ways when they're in our presence. Nobody can touch them because we're there protecting them. But we know they're going to be out of our presence some, so we coach them up with wisdom to keep them safe. That's why we say, listen, don't play in the street. You could get hit by a car. We're giving them wisdom to protect them. We say, don't put the keys in that outlet. We're trying to protect them from things that could harm them. And this is what God has done. I love you. This word is for you, to point you to me where you're going to find great joy, to point you away from foolishness where you would not wreck yourself. And specifically, he tells us here about men who follow after wickedness, those who walk into dark paths. We're protected from that if we'll heed the wisdom of God. The next time we're going to look in verse 16, we're protected also from the immoral woman. And we know that works both ways. You're protected from foolish, wicked friends if you follow God's wisdom. You're protected from immorality and all the devastation that comes from that. Again, we'll talk about that next time. Oh, God's wisdom, what a treasure. Drawing us to God, giving us the gospel, but protecting us from the foolishness that could harm us. Well, as a new Christian, my buddies had an idea. They said, let's go swim in the Tar River there in Rocky Mount, my hometown, and we'll jump off the trestle. And we had heard about teenagers before us who would jump off the train trestle into the Tar River. We had never done it before. And so I went with them, and I was new into photography at the time. It was a little phase I went through. And so I took my camera. I'll take pictures. And as I had pictures documenting this dumb day where my friends and I were going to jump off the trestle into the muddy Tar River. And so I'm up there snapping pictures, and my buddies jump one after other into the river. It's a lot of feet in the air. I don't remember exactly how much, but they take the plunge. And then it's my turn, right? There's nobody else left. And I said, come on, Jim, jump in. It's fine. But then the thought came into my mind, this is muddy, muddy water. I can't see beneath the surface. And I know where they landed, they were safe. But what if there's some branch or something that's hung up on something in the spot where I'm going to jump? And I thought, man, this seems risky. But I'm a new Christian, so I knew to pray. And I thought, Lord, I'm about to jump off this trestle into the river. Please keep me safe. And I'm not saying God said this to me, but I will say this is the thought that came into my mind. This is the literal words came in mind. I gave you enough sense not to jump off trestles. And if you get hurt, it's your own fault. Again, I don't. That's probably just my own thinking. But I know this, I couldn't jump after that. Because it would be right thinking, right? If I get hurt doing something stupid, I know this is dumb. Even though my friends are saying it's all right. So I just had to eat it. They kept saying, come on, come on. I packed up my camera. I climbed down the bank of the river, and I did swim with them in the muddy Tar River with the current. That wasn't very wise either as I look back on it. But listen, we want to seek God's wisdom. And if we're listening, God would protect us with the wisdom of God. We should seek it. We should see it as valuable. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. We don't want to be senseless as we live in this world. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. To walk away from the wisdom of God would be like saying, Lord, I appreciate this light and this lamp, but I'm turning it off. I'm going to walk around in the darkness. I think I'll do better without that light. It's absolute foolishness when we hear the word of God and we won't choose to align our lives with it. Oh, would we seek after this wisdom? May we incline our hearts to it, as the scripture says. We must have it. And so today, let me ask you, what are you searching for if it's not Christ himself who is wisdom personified? If you're not seeking him as the great treasure, if you're not seeking the word of God, what is it you're seeking instead? And my prayer would be this, that you would reverse that. The other things that you're seeking, they're not going to bless you. They're not going to protect you. They're not going to point you to the love and fear of God. You need to dethrone some things in your life, and you need to enthrone, okay, Jesus, you're the great pursuit. You're the great treasure of life. I'm coming for you. I want you. And is there safety in trusting in Christ? Absolutely. Even more than avoiding fiery cans of flour and jumping off trestles. Listen, if you trust in Jesus, he will save you from the judgment to come. Talk about safety in wisdom. Oh, recognize today that you're a sinner like the rest of us. It's not just you, it's all of us. But you need to be like the rest of us and recognize, I can't save myself. I'm in trouble if I don't have forgiveness for all these sins and trust in Jesus. That's the wisest thing you could ever do. And you might ask the question, well, why Jesus? Why do I need him? Can't I just get better on my own? No, you need Jesus. Jesus left heaven to save you from the judgment to come. Jesus came, became one of us. He added humanity to his deity. He lived perfectly. He loved and taught, but ultimately he went to a cross where he died for all of your guilt and all of my guilt. I'm so glad. He died for all of our sins, died for all of our regrets. He took the punishment that you deserve for your sins so that you wouldn't have to endure a future condemnation. Jesus died for your sins, and he was raised on the third day, making it very clear that his promise is real. If you believe in him, Jesus, you won't perish, but instead you'll have everlasting life. There's nothing more wise than that. And today, would you trust in Jesus? And if you've already trusted him, would you pledge anew, oh Lord, I will follow you. The wisest thing I could do after trusting you is to line up my whole life. You're the Lord of my life. Every area of my life, I want to follow you. And one other benefit of this wisdom, it adorns your gospel presentation to others. If you're thinking about sharing the gospel with others, and that is one of our roles, we've talked about that recently. I must share the gospel. People need to see the life we're living that's lined up with that. People don't need to see the same dysfunction they already have in their lives. They need to see in you, oh, I've not only trusted Jesus for my eternal future, but I'm trusting him today to govern my life, to lead me today. That will adorn the gospel that we're sharing with others. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word and all that we've seen here about you, your wisdom, your grace that you've given this to us. We ask for the wisdom to choose you over and over and over again. Lord, save us from the path that sometimes we're tempted to go down, a path of darkness. We've already tried that in our lives before you. We don't want to walk that way anymore. Give us fresh wisdom every day to follow after you. Lord, we do want to take up our responsibility to point other people to the hope and joy of you. Help our lives also to echo that same message that you are the hope, you're the treasure, you're the joy. I pray, God, you'll do a fresh work in each one today, giving people repentance and faith and Lord, stirring us to greater wisdom in you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.